بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we notice in the month of Ramadan, as Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned, the rosy of a believer increases. The sustenance of a believer increases. So mashallah, once Mufti Zainul Abidin sahab and Mullah Barrul Al-Haq sahab rahimahumullah, they were together. So when they met, one told the other, chalo hum kuch jannati kaam kar le, let's do some jannati work together. One of the mashayikh asked, Hazrat, kya karna hai, what should we do? Say, dastar khan bichao. Say, open the dastar khan, let's eat a little bit. Because eating is jannati work also. And jannat will all be eating and enjoying. So here in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has given that dastar khan also, mashallah. After Maghrib, after Tarawih, Sehri time. So it's just now, Jannati work Allah Ta'ala make us the people of Jannat also. So one is now the Dastar Khan, the spread over there and the different delicacies, and then is the spiritual Dastar Khan also, which our Akabir have already given us such beautiful delicacies and the Dastar Khan, spiritual Dastar Khans. Thinking in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, what to speak about, really we don't have anything. We are just as an empty container. And whatever Allah Ta'ala puts in our heart through the barakat, Allah's fazl, the barakat of our Shaykh, what they have given us, is just copy and paste. Reality, we don't have anything to offer to anyone. Whatever we learn from them, Allah Ta'ala reward the Hazrat Wala, Dhamma Barakatuhu, keep it afiyah, sihat and salamat. And our Dada Shaykh also, that how they taught us the lessons of Allah's muhabbat and love. So, trying to prepare something for the last 10 nights, what to speak about. Then we go through the kitab of Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Wadada Sheikh. And they've already given us the goods already, Jannati goods. So all we're going to do is just share it to our brothers, inshallah. But this is a bayan of Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the Jalliyat-e Jazb, the manifestation of Allah's attraction. This is a bayan that was translated. Hazrat has given this bayan regarding the Jazb-e Ilahi, the attraction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa Allah ta'ala pulls a person towards Him. This is what we're here for. We want that pull of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah must pull me towards you. Don't ever leave me after that. Where deen becomes just natural to me. This as guna is to me, eating is to me, my bad habits are to me. Ya Allah, your deen must become just as easy as that. That how it becomes so, the mind is tuned in such a way also. We make salam, salam, the hand just slips into the pocket, the phone comes out. Bayan Usat also, they have to slip into the pocket, take out the cell phone. It's like a natural reaction for everything. Wake up also in the morning. One eye is open, he'll check now, EFT came through. Then the other eye will open up. Natural reaction. Brings happiness. If only deen can become like that. Where deen brings such joy to me, that I can give up everything. Give up the cell phone, give up this, and give up all the attractions of dunya. This is just pull my heart, this is jazb. And Allah Ta'ala pulls the heart. Then deen becomes so attractive, it becomes so beautiful, it becomes like a delicacy, and they're just enjoying more and more. Our own Hazrat Wala, our own Shaykh Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhu, at this age of his over 80 years old. Now in the month of Ramadan also, Hazrat will sit there from Asr till 11 o'clock at night. Doesn't go home. Iftari there also, few kajur, little bit of whatever after Maghrib, Isha, full duration. But all the tiredness, 20 rakats tarawih, the program after that, from Asr till 11 o'clock. Go home only at 11 o'clock. The next day again like that. What they enjoying in the muhabbat of Allah, Hazrat says, you're not getting biryani also. You're not getting going out on holidays. Zakim Sahib will say, Rahmatullah Ali, the Allah walas and the friends of Allah are getting on their torn sacks, teaching, Qala Allah, Qala Rasul. What they enjoying in the muhabbat of Allah, the kings don't get wearing their crowns of gold also. Those crowns of gold give them headache. Investments give them headaches. Look after the empire, give them headache. And Allah Wala has given up the empire of dunya. Even the empire of akhirat. What they enjoying, the muhabbat of Allah, giving up dunya. They say, you will not find that even in your dunya also, that enjoyment they are getting. Does it give this bayan? The jazb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attraction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This bayan was given on 18 Muharram, 1414. Corresponding to 9 July 1993. This was a majlis at 11:30 in the morning. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimahullah, he says, I have repeatedly emphasized the importance of the correct pronunciation of the Quran letters. How a Quran Sharif, the letters have to be correct. We have to learn how to recite Quran Sharif. Each letter, how to recite it correctly. Why? So we learn how to take the name of Allah correctly also. Hazrat taught us also, the name Allah. How you take the name of Allah with grandeur, with love, with muhabbat. And that example Hazrat always gives us, that a young boy became a marriageable age. Mother's name is Fatima, his sister's name is Fatima. Now he'll tease also, you Fati, you Fati, you Fatu, you Fatu. All different qiraats he'll have for her. But when he went to see one Fatima, and he had eyes for her, the eyes met. Hazrat says also, between the murid and the sheikh, he says, somebody asked Hazrat Wala, sitting in a majlis, must you look down or look at the sheikh? He says that in the gazes, when they meet, they are secret messages. They are secret messages when the gaze meets. They must look and wait for that tawajjuh, wait for that glance. Sometime, some secret messages are going through of muhabbat and love. Don't miss it. Sahaba ikram would wait. There were no Sahaba radiallahu anhu, a great amount of bashfulness. They couldn't lift their gazes. They were different, and there were those that saw everything of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, described into the final, minutest detail. So he says there are secrets in the gazes also. So sometimes he must join the eye, sometimes he must look and hope that Allah puts something in my Shaykh's heart that rubs up onto me also. The Shaykh can't give anything. It's only from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You say, Hazrat, make tawajju on me. I started flying or something. Hazrat says, but the fly is flying, is that a buzruk? By flying doesn't make you a wali of Allah. Tawazu, humility, yes, come down to earth. Come down to earth and put your head down. Have humility, humbleness, you become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hazrat says, learn the letters of the Quran Sharif, how to take the name of Allah subhanallah. Allah's name is so beautiful. When you're reading Surah Wattin also, Alaysa Allahu, how to take the name of Allah? Alaysa Allahu bi ahdi Allah. As Hakim Sahib will say, Rahmatul Ali, the name of Allah. When you make the dhikr also individually, then take the name of Allah individually. Allah, 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 Allah. That ah of the pain of the love of Allah. Allah put that ah in that ha of Allah. When you say Allah, it hits the heart. Ya Allah, my heart pains for you. Ya Allah, come into my heart. My heart is bleeding for you. It was hit that heart. So Allah put that pain of His name in His name also when you take it correctly. So Quran Sharif, to learn the letters correctly, how to say it. Before there was no tajweed. We hear the old people reading Yasin Sharif. How they read Yasin Sharif also. They qalu. Qalu ta'irukum. For us, how do we read Quran Sharif like that? We read correctly. Qalu ta'irukum. How do you read the qaf, the ayn, the tha, the seen, the dad? To get at least the letters correct that I am trying to read my Quran correctly, as the Hakim Sahib says, Rahmatullah Alayh, I have repeatedly emphasized the importance of the correct pronunciation of the Quranic letters. If you are in your own area, under the guidance of some Qari Sahib, ensure that you learn to recite the Quran Sharif with its required correct pronunciation. Some errors are such that they constitute gunai kabira, major sin. Sometimes we're reading it, Quran Sharif, but the Quran is cursing us also. You're reading incorrectly. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا Allah Ta'ala gave the already commanding Quran Sharif, read Quran correctly. Where to stop, how to read the letters, how to read with tajweed. Remember, we will not perfect it. All Allah Ta'ala wants is وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا Make the effort. Make the effort, Allah will open avenues. أَلَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا So sometimes we are in a hurry. Is that coming right? I have a couple of lessons, can't get this here. Is that for me? That's why we say, if only we say that about business, not for me. I sit at home. No, no, we say we're going to try still. Walana to earn a halal sustenance is faraz, isn't it? Have to work. Have to work hard also. Quran Sharif, then we soft after that. Too heavy for me now. To go sit in the hips class, to go and learn a little bit of Quran Sharif. Learn one ayat a day. One nazira also. But we're on the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that will give Allah an excuse to pull us towards Him. I'm making some effort. I'm making some mujahada. I'm taking your time. So at least it's an excuse for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pull me. Our ladies masturat at home to check their Quran tilawat also. Whether their Quran is correct, alhamdulillah, as we mentioned, we're doing everything for them. Whether it's the clothing, whether it's the amenities, facilities, all of that we're doing for them, alhamdulillah. To get the Quran Sharif correct also. Our last 10 surahs, at least 4 surahs, we did it properly with tajweed. Or farsala is correct, sunnahs are correct. So go to an qari sahib to make sure that your Quran tilawat, there's no major sins involved in your Quran recitation. Among the lehne jali, or the major errors that occur while reciting the Quran Sharif, is changing one letter for another. This is why it is highly necessary to read Quran correctly. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummah Thani rahmatullah alayh initiated great and renowned ulama with bi'at. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh, who is, you can say, a fountainhead of tasawwuf. Hazrat Hakim sahab would say rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Thani ratified the tasawwuf, took out all the bid'at. He took out all the bid'at and he made tasawwuf mudallal from hadith in Quran Sharif. All the qawali and the singing and the tablas and all the, you get halat and ecstasy and all these things, are not, it's not something that is matlub and desired from tasawwuf. That many persons say, I don't feel Ramadan, I don't feel like anything. Is that about feeling? Is that about feeling? Is that about servitude? Being a slave of Allah. Whether I feel or I don't feel, Ya Allah, I just enjoy putting my head down for you. Even if I don't want to, I don't feel like doing it, but just doing it for you is enjoyable to me. Even the two rakats took me 1.5 minutes, but Ya Allah, I did it for you. So is that about feeling? That I'm not feeling anything. That the ecstasy, is that coming? I went for Umrah or Hajj, I didn't feel anything. Is that about feelings? Sharia, is that about feelings? It's about putting your head down and servitude, being the slave of Allah. Ya Allah, I'm a dedicated slave to you and nobody else's. I won't run anywhere else. This is what is desired by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Ana abduk, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani. Allahumma anta rabbi, ya Allah, you are my Rabb, there's nobody else. You are my Rabb, you give me everything. La ilaha illa anta, there's no one I worship besides you. Khalaqtani, ya Allah, you created me. Every limb of mine, every joint of mine, my faculties, my senses, every single thing that I possess is only for my Rabb. Ya Allah, khalaqtani, you created me. Wa ana abduk, and I'm just your slave. And being your slave also is great enjoyment in that. And nobody else's slave, only your slave. I run for you, jump for you, go down, prostrate, only for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So is that about feeling? The feeling comes, is a gift from Allah. The feeling comes, is a gift from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But it's not that now, I didn't feel it, so I feel rejected by Allah. So is that about feelings? Some people might feel, I didn't feel anything, so like Allah Pak doesn't love me. So what you are doing here then? Allah Ta'ala brought you here. It's already proof that Allah Ta'ala wants you. Ye qadam uthte nahi uthaye jaate hain. These feet don't walk on their own. They don't lift on their own. They are made to lift in that direction. Allah Ta'ala wants you to come, He'll bring you. Even if it's downtown, Allah will still bring you. Allah will make the intizam for you also. Because Allah Ta'ala wants you to come. So you don't come on your own accord. Allah Ta'ala brought you. Because Allah wants to give you something. And Allah wants to give, then we are prepared to take it, whether this feeling or no feeling. So Sharia is not about feelings only. And we feel. Sometimes that person is crying in dua, I can't even cry. And see how the person is feeling, he's enjoying, I don't feel anything in my heart. So shouldn't feel despondent. Is that based upon feelings? Is there some love affair or something? I will see a girl, I must feel some magical feeling or some electrifying feeling or something like that. It's simple, straightforward. Ya Allah, I'm your slave. Whether I feel or I don't feel, I still have to do for my Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So coming back to Quran Sharif, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh initiated great and renowned ulama that came to take bay'at was Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh. He initiated the bay'at only after they were made to read the Nurani Qaida. They still do that kitab, Nurani Qaida. Now we only hear part one, part two. So Nurani Qaida, whatever we learn in madrasa, takhti, etc. So you send them back to maktab. They would test those ulama ikram the Quran tilawat. If you can't read the Quran properly, I'm not taking your bath. You go back, learn Quran Sharif, which is basic. My Quran I have to know. My children have to know Quran Sharif. So, you tell them now, you go and learn your Quran Sharif. And the basics from this, we can gauge the importance of this field of endeavor. It is due to this importance that I implore, as Hakim Sahib says, that I implore people not to regard this aspect of Islamic education as trivial. Check our children also. 14, 15 years old, they can't read Quran Sharif still. 15 years old, he hasn't made khatam of Quran, Nazira yet. What happened? Well, I'm sending him for tuition. He must get his maths right. He's weak in this subject, that subject. He must get this right. He must get... But better you finish your Quran. Before in the old days, mashallah, 8, 9 years old, khatam was done. 10 years old, khatam was done. Boy, young girl, young boy reading Quran Sharif. Now it's not happening like that anymore. Whole system has changed. When it comes to the Muslim schools, they only give you 1 hour, 18, 1.5 hour. Right? The afternoon maktab now has been left out. That's the most important time of the child's life is an afternoon maktab, my dear brothers, to understand. Those of us maybe in our 40s, we didn't go to Muslim schools. Whatever we know of deen, where we learnt it from one apa, one ustaz. That is still keeping us going. This one friend of mine to share with you, I met him after many months. He's a doctor, highly qualified, moved overseas. Moved overseas, I met him, came to Masjid al-Hilal. And outwardly, a very modern person, highly qualified doctor. I asked him, moved to a certain country, Western, in Europe. So, few things we were speaking about. So I asked him that hospital you work in, any other Muslims there? Yes, there are the Muslims, but I don't engage with them. In the sense, I don't talk religion. I don't talk religion with them because I don't hear neither the nonsense from anybody. I know what's right is right, so they mustn't engage with me. But there's one person that is speaking, and I could gauge from there, he seemed to be like a Shia. I told him, just cut it off. I don't engage with you. That was one incident to me. Second incident he told me about his son got involved online with somebody. So he found the chats. So he called his son, made him sit down. And he says, these certain things that you wrote to this girl are unacceptable in Sharia and Deen. This is a person now who is very pious, so to say. So he's saying now these are unacceptable. I want you to retract these statements and read your kalima again. I told him, what makes you so strong? He said, Maktab, I went madrasa, Maktab, you don't say madrasa. I said, when you went? You didn't go darum. He said, no, Maktab days. When you used to go by the ustaz, sit there, this wooden desk we had that time before. The ustaz had one Abdullah stick also. We had one cane, whatever. He said, we learnt. I said, subhanallah, from maybe 35 years ago, 45 years ago, what he learned that time is still pulling him through to now. That Maktab days. How many of us still, whatever we learned there, that was gold. Now you see, the maktab came out in the afternoon. Aqidah of the child, belief of the child, whether it's sin. Alright, whoever went to maktab in those days, now even they're making guna and sin, but they know it's a sin. We know it's not right. We have to come right, we have to make tawbah. New generation, what's wrong with it? The question here, what's wrong with it? Is that wrong with it? Everybody is doing it. Inna lillahi. The suhbat of the ustaz, the simple ustaz, take out your shoes, go with your juzdan, sit by the ustaz, learn there, and make naughty also, and do this and do that, get a few shots. There was barakat in that also. It worked. So a little bit now we walk crooked and we come back straight again. But the barakat of sitting by that ustaz, he took out his time, he said they made dua for his students. And he taught them personally, from heart to heart. From heart to heart, and he was getting a stipend. He wasn't doing it now because he's getting medical aid. He's getting perks. The salary is good. He was doing it purely khidmat for the children. Purely khidmat for the children. Whether he was getting a stipend, whether he was getting anything, it was a love for the people, love to teach him Quran Sharif. And he taught Quran Sharif, not as an occupation. It was more, it was a love for Quran that he taught it. And alhamdulillah, how many of us learned like that? And we're still holding on to that. So therefore, we have to come back to that. Now the maktabs have started in the afternoon. We have to send our children. What's happening now? As Hifz Ustaz too, we get on circular will come. An extracurricular activity, they call it murals or something. You got this coaching, or you got a bursary, or this or that. And I can't come to class. Because they'll go for tuition. What about this? This is the most important thing in his life right now. That's what we tell the parents. This Quran, this boy is learning. Is that just going to help you in the qabr? Is it going to take you right till you put your foot in Jannat? Is it going to get his Quran so solid? Allah Ta'ala give us understanding that when it comes to maktab, we have to send them to maktab. They have to learn the basics. So Hazrat says, if perchance someone were to read the poetry of some poet incorrectly, read the poetry incorrectly, how upset and displeased will he not be? How then can we be so audacious enough to recite the kalam and the speech of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as it pleases us? We want to say it as we read as we want to read it. It is required of us to sit back and ponder what the lofty right of the magnificent speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The Hakim al-Ummah Thani rahmatullah alayhi prescribes that we devote half an hour daily towards this effort, only half an hour. Entire day take only half an hour. We sit by one qari sahab or one hafiz sahab. Alhamdulillah, we have many brothers in our masajid also. Have this fikr. Maybe they might not have the time or the himmat, but you find them after Asr, they sit in the masjid, they got the earpiece on, connected to their phone, and they're listening to the qiraat, and they're reading. They're reading what, and they're doing their para every day like that. But they're doing it. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا And those that will make an effort, Allah says, I'll open up the avenues for them. I'll open the avenues. What? Contentment, the peace of the heart, Allah Ta'ala will not give a person. They got half an hour towards this effort. Inshallah, within 2 months, we will begin pronouncing the letters of the Quran Sharif correctly. Then Hazrat discusses the masnoon and the sunnat way, method of azan and iqama, also very important. Secondly, an effort to learn the masnoon method of azan and iqama must be made. How do you correct azan also? Alright. Azan is not 5 minutes. Azan is simple. Now, Darul Uloom also simple, straightforward azan. That Muhyi Sunnah, Mawla Barul Hafsab Rahimullah was very particular about this. There are a bit of difference of opinion. Some ulama say must be melodious. But then it gets so long, 5 minutes. And now from azan to iqama, only 10 minutes. Now you don't get a chance to read sunnah properly, you're rushing with it. But the azan is so long. So azan should be now a certain moderate duration also. Where our Hazrat also, as a Kimsa, would prefer that azan is straightforward. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you go on, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Straightforward. But he says the sing song, Hazrat says, imagine somebody is calling you. And he says, Ibrahim. He says, what's wrong with you? Why are you calling me? He says, are you calling Allah Pak like that? While my sing song is going on, he says, hey, what the azan? Imagine somebody calls you like that. He says, you're making fun of me. Why are you calling me like that? Call me nicely. So yes, the Asim ulama says, okay. But to pull so long now, 5 minutes, 7 minutes azan, so long. Now you need for the azan to finish also, you know, give the reply, you read your sunnahs, you get anxious to. But there has to be moderation. Therefore, the imams also should take particular care, teaching the muazzin the correct way of giving the azan. So Allahu Akbar for us quickly, as the kings have taught us also how to give the azan and iqama. We get a chance sometime, we're traveling with the family, we got to perform the namaz. So minimum, when you're reading salah on our own, minimum, we have to give the iqama. Salah will still be valid without the iqama, but iqama we must give that at least. And if we get a chance, yes, somewhere open we are, we can give the azan also. So giving the azan also to say the words correctly. We say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Is that Allahu Akbar? I know all the people, they put a waw there. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The ra also is full mouth. Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha. Our kalima also is that la ilaha. Is la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Not illallah. Illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Is gunna, you can pull it. Ashhadu anna mu. Is that Muhammad? Muhammad. Mu. Not mu. Meem has a dhamma, a pesh. Is that majhul that you say in between? But it's a complete round you make your lips. Muhammad. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Muhammad. Is that Rasul? There's only one wow. Like how you say that I'm so tired. People write sometimes, but ask them so many, very tired. So they emphasize now, tired, they put so many O's over there. And if they're in deep sleep, they put that couple of Z's also. Z, sleeping. I'm very tired, I'm fast asleep already. So Rasul also, there are so many wow, Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Yes, the King Sahib Rahimullah who teaches also. Hayya ala salah is you move your head to the right side. Not you stop from there, you move, you put your head there. Hayya ala salah. That's salat. Salah. It ends like in a small ha. Hayya, not hayya, hayya ala salah. So you put your head there, hayya ala salah to the right hand side, bring it back to the front and again to the right side. Hayya ala salah. And don't move the chest away from the qibla. Then, hayya ala al falah. Here is a big ha, we call it big ha. Hayya ala al falah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illallah. Simple azan. Then dua after azan, durood sharif and the dua. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my intercession is wajib for you. Compulsory for you. So So here this ishara, glad tidings, by listening to the azan and replying to the azan, that inshallah to get the intercession of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what does it mean? If you die with iman. So just now replying to the azan and reading the dua, Allah will keep you upon iman. There was one woman in the throes of death, Ali Naqadah Sahib Rahimullah mentioned that she was in Sakarat. And she started speaking Arabic all of a sudden. And then they knew her to be not a very pious woman, but of a loose woman. Now she's speaking Arabic. So they got surprised. They called the local imam. He came in, walked into the room, and she's uttering things in Arabic. So she hadani rajulani yaqulani udkhulil jannah. These two men have come into my room and they're telling me that, oh, old lady, enter into Jannat. Udkhul Jannah, like this, she passed away. So they asked the family, what did she do? Malakul Maut was there. Two of them came, Malaika, and telling her that, Udkhul Jannah, enter into Jannah. He said nothing. She had one habit. When Azan would start, she would tell everybody in the house, shh, prepare to the Azan. That she had respect for the Azan only. Besides that, she had nothing good in her. Just the azan, she had love for it, she respected it. And she would reply to it, Allah Ta'ala kept her with iman, Allah took her with iman. Qiyamah's day, she'll have intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to reply to the azan, Hazrat said, good people in the masjid also, azan is going, no reply. You don't even give it the word. Even the kuffar enjoy the azan. They keep quiet. Then Azanul Hazrat mentioned, one Hindu before they passed away, they embraced Islam also. It was all because when Azan was going, these two stop all the work. The prayer, the call to prayer is on right now. And people have some high morals and respect, they respect everything. They respect even that, like how that person, that Banya in India, is mentioned about him. That he was a known person in the area, and a certain Muslim person used to pass his shop every day and greet him. He was a pakka, we say pakka banya. Person loved money also, loved his business also. And his life came out like that. And then one day this person passed the shop and he noticed banya wasn't there. Inquired, where is he? He passed away. Oh, he passed away. But that night this buzruk saw the banya in his dream sitting in Jannat. He said, banya, is a ponche. Why you did Jannat? We know you. So with a smile he told him, that which was taboo for me to say, before I passed away, I said it, which was kalima. It was taboo for me to say it. It was like a sin in my religion, but before I passed away, it came on my tongue. So how did it happen to you? He says one thing. He says, in the month of Ramadan, when you people used to fast, out of respect for your fasting, then at the time of lunch, I would take my lunch and go to the back of the shop so no Muslim can see me, just to respect your religion. Allah loved that so much of mine, just before my last breath, Allah gave me kalima. Just respect for the month of Ramadan only. Allah give the Muslim Ummah hidayat. Ramadan, we'll be spending it on pedal, coffee shops, going to the garage, standing there. Now how are we going to get the Jannat and the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? Just want to pass our time, festivity, just enjoy it. As we mentioned this morning also, the Arab countries we went to, we're making gush after Tarawih, 11 o'clock. 8 rakats they will read, we finish our 12 rakats, we go for Jola and gush. And we go to, so as a person, 11 o'clock in the night in the Arab countries now, we're in the Middle East, one of the countries, who are you going to meet here? Now's the time to make gush. 11 o'clock at night in Ramadan. And what was the Ramadan there? Festivity. Fireworks, put lights everywhere, put decorations like Christmas. Ramadan is a time to celebrate. That's the concept of Ramadan. So I said, okay, let's go for gush. Then he says, no, we go to the coffee shops. Here coffee is a big thing. The coffee shops for the adults. So when we went there also, and how they would spend the nights of Ramadan, is all in the coffee shops. For the elderly men, they've got their own coffee shop. Because it's called Maqahi. Maqahi from Qahwa. Place of Qahwa and coffee. And what they're doing, they're playing cards at night in Ramadan. As I mentioned this morning, when I went there, the person who was shuffling the cards, they told me, come sit next to me, Sheikh. We'll talk just now. So I sat next to him. So he's telling him in Arabic, he said, I got the Sheikh next to me, I'm going to win now. I'm going to win now. I say, inna. Then after 5 minutes, they stop the game, then we give some da'wah to Qibla. They had the da'wah to Qibla. And back to Qahwa, Hookah, and cards. Therefore, the juniors, for the younger people, they have different type of Qahwa lounges. On one side of it, they got a big screen. Ramadan special movies. Inna lillah. Other side is the football. That's how they spend the night. So I said, why they spend the night like this? In sin. This is the Ramadan. It's a time to make free guna because Allah is forgiving. Ramadan, Allah is forgiving. So just, and why they do this also? To pull the night to Seri. Does it fall asleep? So have Seri and go sleep away. No Fajr namaz. Then we went on for Gush. Went to a street corner. All the boys are parked there. All the doors are open, wearing jammies, short pants, sitting on the bonnet of the car, the music blaring away. In Ramadan. Month of Ramadan. Now I'm thinking, Ya Allah, the same thing is coming to our country. Their country right now is being plundered. Carpet bombing. What is happening there? Allah Ta'ala protect them. So anyway, the rabbi, the guide came, got them all together, we gave them a word of a talk, we took them to the masjid. They came to the masjid. I won't forget that night also. The few youngsters came to the wuzu khana, he's sitting on the chair. So the few local youngsters that took us to meet them, this youngster is asking this pious youngster, just show me again how to make wuzu. Show me again how to make wuzu. Maybe 1920 old youngster. Doesn't know how to make wuzu, no maktab system, didn't really learn, so Ramadan is spent like that. There's so many like that we met. They had no concept of deen and sharia, just passing their life. One youngster we met him was on street corner. Where, this because no maktab system. No maktab system, no deeni activity, no contact with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the essence of deen was lost. Three youngsters, we're speaking to them on the street corner. So we sat down with them. So we're giving him da'wat. One youngster looked very perturbed. He said, Sheikh, I have one question. I said, what is it? He's thinking deeply. And he says, doesn't Allah Pak sleep? Oh, I got a shock of my life. See, I'm giving him da'wat of big things. And he's asking me a basic question, does Allah sleep or not? His friend looked at him in a mocking way. He said, what's wrong with you asking a question like that? How can Allah, if Allah sleeps, the sky will fall. He has to stay awake. I said, Inna lillahi. I said, brother, you better come to the masjid, please. We're going to explain to you all the simple, basic aqaid. Aqaid, aqidah of a Muslim. This Hazrat says, discuss these things. Islahul aqaid. Because ummah is slipping away. Ummah is slipping away. Basic aqaid, ummah doesn't know right now. Children don't even know. The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. This happened to those countries already. Where the whole mixing started, became a festivity. And for Fajr namaz, not a single soul. Iftari all in the house, nobody there for iftari. That's why the one post came out recently, Jamaat into South America. And he was explaining how difficult it is in these countries to keep your iman. Then the Kar Guzari report has something very pertinent. So he mentioned over there in that Kar Guzari, in that report, that here there is a lack of ulama and programs. So there is no environment. So kufr is rife. Kufr is rife. Sin is rife. Then he says, back home where I've come from, South Africa, he says, would the presence of so many ulama and activities and dini programs, then too, the people are finding avenues to sin. They're still looking for avenues to break the command. They're looking for it. And they're paying for it also. They're looking for it. If not local, overseas. They want to go and make guna. They don't take their family. To go and break the command of Allah or the wealth of Allah. Despite having all the environments, knowing is wrong. So he says, I've come to understand that if we have to remove all the ulama and the maktabs and darul ulums and madrasas and programs, our entire country will become murtad. The entire country will turn to kufr. There will be no environment. The jamaats that are making the environment, ulama are making the environment, the students of deens are making the environment. If you take out all of this, it will become just like South America. Where the children won't know the difference between Christianity and Islam. It's all the same. They only because of this and that we have such a strong presence of ulama and programs, then to the ummah is still looking for some way out. They now remove all of this and it's gone. The homes will be gone, the youth will be gone, the women will be gone. Now, the only reason we are still staying a little bit because the ulama are speaking, our children are going to madrasa and maktab, so we are put on check. Otherwise, what will happen to the ummah? Allah will give us understanding and save us, inshallah. So this is the azan. When it comes to iqama also, the azan, we know how to give it more or less. When it comes to iqama also, the correct way, he also, as the Hakim Sahib Rahimullah, will teach us practically. He will tell someone to stand up and give the iqama. Then he will say the first four takbirs in one breath. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Four, right? That's three. So four, one breath. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. One breath, ashhadu an la. Ashhadu an la Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu an la Muhammadan Rasulullah. One breath. Then you can turn your head to the right. Hayya ala as-salah, hayya ala as-salah. Not hayya ala as-salati. Hayya ala as-salah, hayya ala as-salah. Hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah. Qad qamati as-salah, qad qamati as-salah. You don't join it. And then the last one, one breath. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. So the first four, one breath. Then one breath, two, two, ashadu Allah, ashadu Anna. The hayya ala salah, twice, one breath. Hayya ala falah, twice, one breath. Qad qamati salah, twice, one breath. And then the last, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, one breath. This is the correct way of doing it. Reference for this, Hazrat Muhyi Sunnah will say, you can check Fatawa, Alamgiri is mentioned over there. So this is learn how to, these are the basics. Azan iqama, every Muslim should know how to give azan iqama correctly. So ye sab seekhne ki cheez hai, all these things are for us to learn, to educate ourselves in our deen. To stand upright after ruku, very important. After ruku, to stand qoma. Imam Abu Yusuf Rahimahullah says qoma now is wajib, because stand up properly. So thirdly, it is wajib in namaz to stand upright after the ruku. Some people without standing upright after ruku, going to sajda, hardly stand up, they go down already. And if the Imam Sahib takes some time, you find the musallis, they're like in between ruku and sajda, right? They're waiting. They are waiting, like how a person goes diving into the pool, he's waiting. Imam Sahib is taking his du'as to be read right now. His du'as in salah that you can read, draw from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So some people without standing up right after ruku, going to sajda, such a namaz is incomplete, deficient. According to the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahabi, irji fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and perform your salah again. Because your ruku wasn't right, your sajda wasn't right, your qoma jalsa wasn't right. It was all hurried, hurried. Like how a fowl picks the ground. So he told him, go back and repeat your salah. Your salah wasn't correct. So repeat your namaz, for you have not performed salah. It is wajib to repeat such a namaz. Therefore, after ruku, ensure that one stands upright before going into sajda. So take note, and also very importantly, my dear brothers, our sons are becoming of age. 10 years old already, make sure they stand next to us for the sunnahs. Don't leave them on their own. They won't learn namaz. They have to see you performing your namaz and just follow you. Masjid is big sometimes, tell him, after namaz, come and look for me. And stand next to me in namaz. At least salah with me. What we do, we leave them. He's tired, let him sleep. He's 10 years old now. He has to activate his body and limbs for namaz right now. He's doing everything else, alhamdulillah, but namaz, we leave him. But other activities, as we say, we're paying for that now. For his coaching and tuition, all that, he's jumping and he's paying. But namaz, see, I'm tired. We were in one country, Tashkil, Australia also. It was Tarawih time. 11-year-old youngster was sitting on the chair for namaz. Father sitting next to him. After the two rakat, father rubbing his legs. Asked the father, what happened to his legs? So the boy in his accent, he says, haven't you run cross country? The cross country is very far. Our country is very big. They know so many kilometers around. So I just ran that yesterday. 11-year-old boy, I ran cross country, something like that. My legs are very sore. My dad is pressing my legs. I said, subhanallah. This is now progressive country. So he's sitting on the chair, 11-year-old boy, and father did namaz standing. Every two rakat presses his legs. Shukr, he plays again for tarawih, alhamdulillah. Father still brought him for namaz. The boy is 10 years old, he must stand next to his father. Perform his salah with his father. Father must check his postures are correct, reading salah correctly. Don't leave it to the ustaz. As I mentioned to a couple of days ago, he says, now, old days now, we send him to madrasa, you must learn your deen there. Right? We don't have time for that. And if he doesn't perform his namaz, Maulana, is that reading namaz? But this is your job, not my job. I'll teach him how to read it. You must check him after that. Your job now is not only just to feed him and fatten him and send him to school and send him to me. But it's your responsibility. I'm assisting you with your responsibility. Because primarily you're supposed to teach him, but we open avenues to make it easy for you. So the 10-year-old boy must stand next. The 10-year-old girl also must stand next to her mother. Mother has to check her namaz is correct or not. How she's performing her salah. Otherwise, the bad habits will come in there. Namaz is correct. I fail my duty. As a parent, I failed my duty. I didn't teach him namaz. I didn't listen to his qiraat also. So we have to listen to the qiraat sometimes. Make them read loudly. Like some youngsters, they learn in maktab when they're young. So they say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillah. The namaz we're reading layat. Even namaz we're making Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, if we didn't listen to his Quran tilawat, whole life is reading Quran like that. How many youngster, even old people, because we learned before, Zaruri Muslimin and all these things, when he started namaz, he said, Allahu Akbar, Sana Subhanakallahumma. He says, Sana Subhanakallahumma. The Subhanakallahumma's name is Sana. So they say Sana first and Subhanakallahumma. So whether the namaz is correct or not, now we learned it like that, so we read it like that. So all these things have to be checked out whether the namaz is correct. So the qoma two is, you stand up upright properly. Then when it comes to Isha namaz, only 9 rakats of Isha are necessary. There we'll be making muzakara for some time. 17 rakats of Isha namaz. We look at the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they explain. Who should be reading 17 rakats? When's the last time I read 17 rakats of Isha namaz, the full quota? Right? But we all like discount. We like discount, but we don't like to give discount. So Allah ta'ala will give discount, but can't be taking all the time. Sometimes pay full, and sunnah also to pay extra sometime. One is to ask, like when you go to Madinah Munawwara, there they say don't ask for bargains, don't ask for discount as fast as possible. And if you ask also, no problem. You give a discount 10 riyals, but give him 20 riyals extra. And this is also sunnah. To give discount is sunnah, and to pay more to his sunnah. So he gave you, so he made amal upon one sunnah, he gave you discount. And in return, you made amal upon the other sunnah, you give him 10 more. Taxi driver also, subhanAllah, once we're in the taxi, go to Tan'im, Masjid Aisha. This is after the COVID time. And with 3 or 4 in the car. So the Arab brother, they got into the front seat, telling the taxi driver, he said, khafif shawiya, khafif. Give him discount. Because he was saying 10 or 20 riyal. He said, make it cheaper. So the taxi driver told him, he said, Ya Sheikh, كانت مكة حزينة الآن تتبسم. Just now was COVID time. Makkah Mukarramah was in depression. Now Makkah is smiling. You too smile and pay more. Now too you want to squeeze us. He says, just before you came, you were standing in a line to get food. Because you couldn't pay bills. It was COVID. Everything was locked down. He said, كانت مكة حزينة. Makkah was in depression. The way he put it in Arabic, so beautiful. الآن تتبسم. Now Makkah Mukarramah is smiling. You smile and pay a little bit also. I tapped you, I said, no man, just pay it now. What do you know, discount? That too is sunnah to give extra. See the smile on the person's face. So Zakim Sahib says, Rahmatullah alayh, if one finds it difficult to complete 17 rakats of Isha, this true Hazrat says, ask ourselves, when's the last time I read the 17 rakats of Isha namaz? At least do it. Now and then, if not every day, which is the ideal thing, alhamdulillah, but at least the 17 rakats we learn in Maktab, Hazrat says, wasn't for imtihan and examination, and to put the diagram on the with that frame there, 17 rakats Isha. For exams now, and you wrote the exam, oh, you said the paper, 100%, but never read it. Never did it, but I passed the examination. In reality, I failed it. I didn't pass it. So 17 rakats Isha namaz, as it says now, if it is difficult for one to do so, then read 9 rakats. And read 9 rakats at least. But read them excellently. Don't read 17 and rush it. If you're tired, or in a hurry, but you have to read 17. No. Read that 9, but read it properly. Khushu and khudu. Read the 4 farz, 2 sunnat muakkada thereafter, and 3 witr. But as just mentioned, read them excellently. Read them with itminan, with peace of mind, contentment, or calmness and composure, as well with khushu and khudu, devotion and concentration. Let it not be that for fear of sleep overtaking one hurriedly read 17 rakats. I'm tired now. And also, something beautiful we learn from Hazrat. He says, now I got certain ma'am, already 17 rakats. Sometimes Allah Baq likes to see your weakness too. Show Allah Ta'ala your weakness too. Not that I'm always strong. He sometimes show your weakness too. Allah, I'm tired today. Allah, I can't make it 17. Allah loves to see his weakness in, your weakness in his bandha. Look at him. Never mind, malaika give him full reward for it. Not that every time I saw how strong I am, see, I can read 17. Although I'm tired. Show weakness too, not a problem. Now you go for Umrah, or you go somewhere, or you're just tired, or you're sick. I don't want to show my sickness. No, say, Allah, I'm feeling sick. Allah, I'm your banda, I'm feeling sick. I can't do it right now. Allah loves to see that weakness also. So it did not be because of sleep, fear of sleep overtaking one hurriedly read 17 rakats. For the sake of nawafil, one is destroying one's entire salah. Now he has to do all the nafils. So one is destroying the concentration in the entire salah. Particularly those who are students at some college or university and are unfortunately distant from deen should not at all be directed to read 17 rakats of Isha. Look at the friends of Allah, how compassionate they are. As it is, they are far from deen, there is no environment over there. And now you tell him, no, you must read 17. Now the whole day is in studies, there is no environment there. Right? The boys in Darul Uloom also, we are going to now give them a bit of heavy dose for them to read the 17. Imagine those not in Darul Uloom also. So make it easy for them. Due to the fear of reading 17 rakats, they do not even suffice with the farz, wajib and sunnat. In order to bring them closer to deen, advise them to read the 4 farz, the 2 sunnat and the 3 witr. By this method, they will at least be accomplishing the basic necessity of reading the Isha Salah. At least they're doing that properly. Then when it comes to awabin also, after Maghrib Salah. Similarly, to acquire the virtues promised for the reading of 6 rakats after Maghrib, for one who does so, will have his sins forgiven, though they are equivalent to the foam of the ocean. Allah will forgive the gunas. Just 6 rakats of Salatul Awabin after Maghrib. By this it is meant minor sins, because major sins are forgiven by virtue of Tawbah or repentance. People find it difficult to even consider reading 6 rakats after completing the entire 7 rakats of Maghrib. They find it difficult. What I am saying, as Hakim Sahib says, Rahmatullah Alayh, what I am saying is everyone does read 3 farz. Maghrib we read 3 farz. 2 sunnat we read. And 2 nafil we should read also. Nafil very important. It will cover up the deficiency in our sunnats and our faraiz. So 2 nafil we read. Over and above, this read only another 2 rakats and you will acquire the virtue of benefit of awabin. Because what they say, man salla ba'd al-maghrib, Sitta raka'atin, person who reads 6 rakats after Maghrib. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib is saying effectively, you read your 2 sunnats, you read your 2 nafil, just add on 2 more nafil. So how many rakats altogether? You got the 6. So you will call a starter pack. It is started. Then after you get used to it, then you can do your 2 sunnats separately and 6 nafil. But this was started, so you can do this also. Your 2 sunnats, then you read 2 nafil, just add 2 more nafil. And you get the reward of all your sins being forgiven. You'll get the virtue. The 2 rakats of sunnah are also included in awabin. The words of the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu salam are, man salla ba'da al-maghrib sitta rakaatin. Mullah Ali Qari, rahmatullah alayhi, commentator of hadith, writes in his Kitab Mirqat, the commentary of Mishkat, that the 2 rakats of sunnah are also included in awabin. This masala is also written in Ahsanul Fatawa. Ahsanul Fatawa is mentioned there also. This is volume 3, page 466. Therefore, after reading the 2 rakats of Sunnatul Mu'akkada and the 2 rakats of Nafil, this is after Maghrib Farz, a further 2 rakats of Nafil will merit one to be included among those who read Awabin. You get the reward. The general public do not consider the Sunnatul Mu'akkada as part of Awabin. They say, no, how can? But it is part of it. You can include it. He therefore shirk from reading awabin. When they realize that they are reading the 3 farz, 2 sunnat and 2 nafil, it only requires a further 2 rakats of nafil to complete the 6 rakats of awabin. One will hereafter be truly lazy, one will hereafter be truly lazy, truly unfortunate, and not to read a further 2 rakats nafil and acquire the great virtue of having one's sins equivalent to the foam of the oceans forgiven. Those who are of the habit of reading more than this must continue to do so. For they are earning more. Do not prevent those who are reading more rakats. This prescription is to be given to those who do not read awabin at all to make matters easy for them. When it comes to qaza namaz, also many people ask, I got so many years qaza, but I want to read the tahajjud. What about my qaza namaz? So the simple reply we mentioned to them, if you already have a tartib, you already have a tartib and a set pattern for your qaza namaz reading every day. Whether I'm reading 2 or 3 or 1, I've got the time for that, so very good. So you're reading that, then read your nafils. But if you're not reading qaza also, you got no tartib, you got no set pattern, schedule, itinerary for your qaza namazes, then better you don't read the nafil. Where do you read your qaza then? So if you have time for that, then leave that, alhamdulillah, you're doing it, then you can read your nawafil thereafter. Then Hazrat explains to sit upright between the 2 sajdas. It is also wajib to sit upright between two sajdas, to come up completely, to sit. This dua has to be read there also. If one after completing the first sajda does not sit upright and hurries into the second sajda, one's namaz will not be complete. This might not be so much among the men. Maybe we come up properly, but you see the masturat at home, how fast they read. Very fast. If you have to go home and read next to the ladies at home, in your 4 rakats, they might read 6 or 8 rakats already. And they're very fast between the two sajdas. And even the Qoma also. Because they're not accustomed to slow namaz, like how we read in the masjid. So we should caution them also, don't rush so much. There's du'as to be read in the Qoma, between the two sajdas, right? You got the sitting posture there. Then, after the ruku, so we should check their namazes also. Realize and understand these matters clearly. It did not happen that due to a haste one has no namaz to one's credit. It is also wajib to place one's nose on the ground in sajda. To place the nose, many people you find they're making sajda on the forehead only. The nose doesn't touch the ground whatsoever. So both have to touch the ground, the nose and the forehead. And when you're coming down from the standing position into sajda, what goes on the ground first? Knees. Right? Other mazahib, Shafi'i, mazhab, etc., they go hands first. We go knees down. Knees, then the hands, then nose, then the forehead. And when you're coming up, it's the other way around. Forehead first, then the nose. But the nose is also on the ground. But some people keep their noses suspended above the ground while in sajda. I've observed that their foreheads are placed on the ground while their noses are suspended in the air. Even if it is away from the ground to the width of a grain of rice, it is still not touching the ground. Remember, it is necessary for the nose to be touching the ground. Hazrat says, "The kya hai rabta aah fughaan se, zameen ko kaam se, kuch asman se." To show this connection between the nose and the ground. What's the effect of it? Subhanallah. Allah wa Allah, how they understand these things. He says, what connection is there with tears and lament? Between tears and the lament and the cry of the heart. What's the connection? Right, we know when the heart pains, then the tears come out. Zakim Sahib would explain also, Rahmatullah Ali, the tears actually, the original form of tears is blood. That blood comes from the heart. But when it comes out from the eyes, it comes out colorless. But in reality, it is blood. When the heart burns in the love of Allah and is paining, then actually the blood now comes out through the eyes. So you say, this is the connection. What's the connection between, is there between the tears and the lament and the cry of the heart? The earth has some work with the heavens. The earth has some work with the heavens. As it explains, if the soil with which you are made has some work with the heavens, then rub your nose on the earth, for this is the means whereby Allah endows one. By rubbing your nose on this earth, upon that Allah will endow you, Allah will give you something. Because you're made from this, and this earth has a connection with the skies. We'll complete inshallah, by quarter past inshallah. So to further elaborate on this, Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains an incident regarding a poor person in death. There was a person who was very poor. He cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "Oh Allah, how am I to fulfill my debt? How am I going to pay it?" So he was directed to a generous person who lived 1,000 miles away and told, "Go to him, he's very generous, he will settle your debts. He will assist you, he will help you out." So therefore he took the correct mashwara. So who to take mashwara from? The person gave him mashwara, the generous person, they go away there, he will help you out. And this also living in debt, this is debt to the soul also. We're living in debt all the time. Make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah save us from debt. Make our business cash. Allah will do it. The market will say something else. But as we mention every day, majority al-qada, the real court is belongs to Allah. What decision He makes over there comes down over here. And what decision He'll make upon your intention and niyyah. If genuinely you want to, Allah will make it like that. Allah will give barakat in it also. So when you become debt-free, Allah can do it for us. Riba-free, interest-free, Allah will do it. We don't have to say now the system is like that, so we work with the system. Allah is not bound to the system. Allah is not bound to what insan does. We are bound to the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that's also Allah ta'ala save us from this. Then Hazrat says also, don't be like Musa bhai and Ahmad bhai. Musa bhai borrowed money from Ahmad bhai. He told Ahmad bhai, "I'll pay you end of the month." So he came that night before the end of the month, and Musa bhai can't sleep now. He's pacing up and down in the bedroom. Why wakes up 2 o'clock in the morning? Musa, why are you not sleeping? I'm going to pay Ahmad tomorrow. How much owe him? 100,000. Why didn't tell me? Sort it out. Oh, I didn't know you stashed away so much. I know you take from your wallet every time. But 100,000, I said, not at that. Give me his phone number. I said, what are you going to do? 2 o'clock, I said, I'll sort it out. Don't worry. I picked up the phone Ahmad, Ahmad bhai, the Musa by his wife. Ahmad bhai, Musa can't sleep right now. He owes you 100,000 rand. Doesn't have the money, he can't pay you. Assalamu alaikum. He said, what you did? He said, sort it out. He said, what you mean? He said, now you sleep, he'll walk. You sleep and he'll walk now. So we don't sort out this like that now. That now we're going for holidays and we didn't pay the account. That person also wants to go. And we hold him. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to live a debt-free life, inshallah. So he was directed to a generous person, 1,000 miles away. So go to him. He's very generous. He will settle your debt. So he proceeded to the place, 1,000 miles away. Upon reaching the place, he read his Asr Namaz only to find the janazah of that person being buried. Inna lillahi. But all the way there, he thought we'll cut a deal and it didn't work out. Plane ticket, went all the way there. Thought now he'll buy it off the plan. But there was no plan really. But he paid the deposit, he paid the money, and there was no, the whole thing went down. So the person passed away. The entire locality appeared to be sinking into the ground before his eyes. For he had traveled 1,000 miles only to find the quest of his journey dead and buried. The toil and the energy expended in covering more than 1,000 miles were all in vain. It was useless. He read his Maghrib Salah and cried profusely to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He cried to such an extent that he was exhausted and fell asleep. At times, excessive crying leads to exhaustion, with the result that one succumbs to sleep. Take the case of children who at times do not sleep. They don't know go to bed. For some mothers at such a time, solely to put a child to sleep, they spank him. Give him a hiding so he gets tired and sleep away. As Rakim Zab says, they reason that the more I beat him, the more I spank him, the more I exhaust him, the more tired he will be, the better he will sleep. So this is the ilaj for it, they say. This is the cure for insomnia. Remember, such hiding, such spanking is not permissible. Think of some other means to put children to sleep. Rather read Ya Latifu 7 times and blow on the child. Read Ya Latifu. Allah is that is most kind. Allah put him to bed. That would explain also what compassion Allah Allah. He said the child also has a headache. Child is tired also, growing pains, the legs are paining. He doesn't know how to relax. Doesn't know how to relax right now. He doesn't know that if your legs are paining, he must lie down. He thinks now he must run more. He says, what's wrong with this child? Because the kids would say, take him into the room, make him lie down, take a little bit of oil on your fingers, rub into his skull, give him a little of a massage, make him relax, read for him, put some zikr on. He said, then you see how he'll enjoy it. Then every time he's a bit not feeling well, he'll come to you. Not feeling well right now. How he enjoyed that massage. He said, you must do this with the children. They also have body pains. They have headaches also. Everything, what's wrong with this child? Only we get headache. And we tell the child also, you're giving me a headache. Not realizing he's got a headache also. So we got to calm them down also. So read 7 times, Ya Latifu. So when this person fell asleep, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dream and was commanded, O person, in your home, which comprised 3 or 4 rooms, the wealth of your grandfather is buried. The value of this wealth is such that you will not only be able to settle your debts, but build a comfortable home as well. The Hazrat Hakim Sahib brings the title, The Wisdom in Granting Bounties After Mujahada or Struggle. I had to travel 1,000 miles to see this dream. So he says, in his dream he posed this question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, when this wealth was present within the precincts of my home, why did you make me toil and struggle by traveling 1,000 miles? Well, here now you reveal to me. It was only after this difficult journey of 1,000 miles that you disclosed to me the whereabouts of this treasure. What is the wisdom of this act of yours, O Master of the Universe? The reply received was, we grant ease and comfort after toil and struggle. We grant ease and comfort after toil and struggle so that you may appreciate the bounty. So Hazrat says, don't spoil the children. Don't spoil the children. In the old days, we would stand in the shop a little bit. We stand in the shop. And then too, you won't get a full wage for it also. We stand there, we load the bucket a little bit. We pick up. Now the children, There's nothing. There's no shop to stand in also. Nothing for them to do. And they just get everything on their plate. So they don't need to perform anymore. No need to work hard also. I get it. Father will buy it. Do a tantrum. Mother will buy it. So no qadr, no appreciation. So we grant ease and comfort after toil and struggle so that you may appreciate the bounty. He returned home, dug for and acquired the wealth only after excessive effort, toil and struggle. When worldly bounties are acquired only after effort, how is it possible to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a struggle? This is the point. When Allah free of charge. For dunya, there has to be a struggle. To get Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Muli Ahmad Latsab, Dhamma Barakatuhu, he will say also, he says, you want Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, says, kabhi kabhi, now and then, tabne ghar ko chhodna. Leave your house, your comfortable home, to sleep in the house of Allah. Sometimes leave your bedroom in your comfortable bed to sleep on a mattress in the house of Allah. He says, on that al-mujahada, you may shukur to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will preserve your home, Allah will keep it abad. When worldly bounties are acquired only after effort, how is it possible to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without his struggle? To acquire the wealth of the world, one gladly endures traveling 1,000 miles. Ask the reps, how they're traveling from town to town, leaving their families also, the comfort of the home, and the home food, and the bathroom, and the toilet, and the bed, just now to get orders. Whether he's going to come through, somebody will cut him, somebody will cancel the order, even all the way, somebody was secured, didn't happen. But they're traveling thousands of miles. How much effort they are making. But to get Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that's so easy also. While those who are sacrificing their lives to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who remain within the confines of the khanka, day and night, those who are restless, who are extremely anxious in the search for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not endure, do not tolerate the effort and struggle in lowering the gaze, in controlling the eyes because there's difficulty in this. People are not prepared to endure difficulty. Resort to some soul searching. Consider and realize the reality of our claims of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Hazrat is saying that those that are going out there in dunya, they're making effort in dunya, it's easier for them to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those that are sitting the entire day in the khanka. Why are they going in the path of, they're going out. Then all the haram temptations are there. So the difficulty and the struggle of controlling the eyes, on that Allah ta'ala will give his muhabbat. Compared to that person sitting whole day in the madrasa, was sitting in the khanka the whole day, Hazrat says he has to push more ibadat now. And for the person out there, what he must do is don't look. Then don't look. Allah will give you. Then Hazrat Kim Sahib will say that a person is traveling, oh, in such a office he's in now with this Uli Mastura, these ladies, he says all these women, mitai ki dukane hai. Mitai ki dukane hai. Then all these haram things are for you to eat. He said, all these things are shops of mithai. What does it mean? Don't look. Allah will open a wholesale in your heart of mithai. All you enjoy, Allah, I didn't look. Now it becomes so common, so easy. Whether we're traveling, whether we're going somewhere, teller, cashier, direct in the face you're looking. Checking in the bags also, right in your face. Why? You want to upgrade. But we're getting downgraded right now. We're not getting upgraded. We want the seating. So it's going to be nice to her, sweet to her, talk up. No need to all this. All in the control of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. The air, Hazrat himself will always be like the air hostess. He comes with a face right into your face. So you must look down. I got no work with you. Allah has kept me pure, clean, chaste, park. I got a park and pure wife at home. Why give up my eyes something which is haram? Doesn't belong to me. So put your eyes down. And if you look also, what are you going to get? You see, the biggest bewakuf. You saw and you got nothing. What a fool you are. You went, you saw and you got nothing. No profit you saw. You spent so much of money, you went all the way to the show, and you came back with nothing. You say, man, what you went for? We sent you, you came with nothing. You came with a loss, actually. You're a liability to the company. In the same way also. Now, I got everything halal at home, but now she's chatting me up, I'm chatting her up also. Wherever I go, now I'm waiting to talk to ladies only. What's it about? What are you getting from there? One person told us, Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat, when I don't look, and like I could look and I didn't look. It's something haram. You see, the pain of the heart is very heavy. I said, I can't handle it. I just had a peak, but then I looked away, but the pain of the heart, it plays on my mind after that. Because I told him, use your brains a little bit. That when you look, when you do look, and you saw her properly, and you couldn't get anything, Then how many days do you suffer the pain? If for 1 week I think about it. And if you don't look, he says, how many days you suffer the pain? Say for 3 days. 3 days, 7 days is better. The 3 days. You don't look there. Don't look. Only 3 days you suffer. Then you forgot about it. Now you looked and you couldn't get. Now you think you should have spoken to her, get her phone number, do something, where to where. 7 days pain, but then Allah Ta'ala will give you muhabbat. Allah will give you His ma'iyat. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. This has become such an illness and bimari, not only among the men, among the women also. Among the women also, when they go shopping, just to get the discount, how they smile at the men. How they'll chat him up also. Just to get a few cents. But sold their jannah, sold their akhirat. And unfortunately, the men also. He'll tell the religion, you speak to him. You get a better discount. Inna billahi. That in the terms of a hadith is a cuckold. Has no value for his mastura. He send them, you get the discount. You speak to him. You make the deal. Oh, somebody coming home, we need curtains. Oh, you speak to him. We give you a better discount. Right, some work at home, whatever, they put the ladies in front. Just for a few cents and rands. As if now we don't have any money. Allah give us understanding, my dear. In the month of Ramadan, all these vices that come into our life. Even the domestic at home also. We got no work with her. We got no work with her. We don't have to chat to her. We don't have to speak to her. Then we do ride the mustarat. Also, Allah Ta'ala give us companies, firms, businesses. We only have men working. We have only men working. And you make the niyat, Allah will make it happen for us also. Allah will make it happen. We got a pure, clean environment. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. We'll make short zikr and short dua, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله الله Allah, 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 Allah Jalla Jalalu Allah 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 Allah, 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 Allah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنك ما أثنيت على نفسك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين. يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا واسع المغفرة، يا واسع الفضل، اغفر لنا يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا ذا القوة المتين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. أو كريم رحيم الله، most kind Allah, most forgiving Allah, conceding كريم رحيم الله. يا الله, we have come, يا الله, to your doorstep, oh my Allah, to your door, كريم رحيم الله. يا الله, your door never closes upon the Ummah of Nabi Akram صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله, we have come with our begging bowls tonight in your court, oh كريم رحيم الله. يا الله, no one is, يا الله, rejected from your court, oh my Allah. The biggest of sinners are welcome, oh my كريم رحيم الله. يا الله, we are the sinners of the Zamana, oh my Allah. We have come with plenty of guna and sin. We have come with regret, oh my Allah, with nadamat, oh my Allah. Our life has passed, oh my Allah. How is it passing right now? Unmindful of you, oh my كريم رحيم الله. Ya Allah, give us your ma'iyyat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, with your power, pull, O my Allah, pull us towards you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you give after struggle and toil, O my Allah. The brothers are tired, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Sitting here in your muhabbat and your love, Ya Allah. The eyes are closing, the hearts are tired, O my Allah. The bodies are paining. O my Kareem, Rahim Allah, when the child is tired, the mother embraces the child. The mother picks him up, puts him to bed and cover him. O my Allah, she makes him comfortable, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, who is there to put the hand upon the Ummah now, O my Allah? Ya Allah, we've come to ask of you for the Ummah, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, put your hand on the Ummah of Rahmat, of Barakat, of Nusrat, and Fatah, and Victory, O my Allah. Open the dead hearts, O my Allah. Revive the hearts, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, we know so much of dunya, Ya Allah, we've become ghafil and negligent of Akhirat, O my Allah. Oh, Ya Allah, give us yaqeen upon the Akhirat, O my Allah. We kept Jannah for the Ummah of Nabi Akram, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doors of Jahannam are closed. The doors of Jannah are open. Ya Allah, Ya Baghi al Khair, Aqbil. Ya Baghi al Shar, Adbir. Ya Allah, the nights of Ramadan, the caller is calling out, Ya Baghi al Khair. Oh, the one that desires good, Aqbil, proceed, go ahead. The one that wants evil, retract and go back. Oh, my Allah, we only want good, oh, my Allah. Take us ahead, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the hearts of your awliya and friends. Then pump in your muhabbat and your love, oh, my Allah. That we don't forget you a single moment of our life, oh, my Allah. You are the creator of beauty, oh, my Allah. You are most jameel, most beautiful, oh, my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Oh, my Allah, open our hearts, oh, my Allah. Remove the cataract of the eye, oh, my Allah. Oh, Kareem, Rahim Allah. It is a few nights left in the month of Ramadan. Ya Kareem Rahim Allah, save us the next 11 months of the year from shaitan and nafs, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give us that imani strength, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Make us yours, O my Allah. Make us yours, O my Allah, become ours. O Kareem Rahim Allah, forgive us our sins of our past life. Bring our life upon the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make our dunya easy for us. Make our qabr easy for us. Make our akhirat easy for us. For us, our families, the entire Ummah Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Save us from death
my Allah. Save us from riba, O my Allah. Give us plenty of halal sustenance, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, save our children from becoming spoiled, O my Allah. Give them sifat, give us sifat and qualities of believers, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Give us shukr in our lives, give us pure and clean hearts, O my Allah. Save us from malice and jealousy, Ya Allah. From running behind dunya, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Make everything easy for us in this worldly life. Ya Allah, protect the ummah. Ya Allah, clothe the ummah. Ya Allah, give nusra to the ummah. Help the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever in the world the ummah is parishan, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Make it easy for them. Protect them, O my Allah. Let your deen spread in the world. Let your name prevail in the world, O my Allah. O Kareem Rahim Allah, make us a means for those. Accept us, O my Allah. Accept our health, our wealth, our time, our families, our children, our businesses, our homes, Ya Allah. Make it a means of hidayat, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Accept our broken efforts. Accept the i'tikaf of the brothers wherever is taking place in the world. Oh my Allah, all those behind the scenes, Ya Allah, accept them, oh my Allah. All those that put up this beautiful masajid, that made the intizam, the khidmat jamaat, and all the brothers, oh my Allah, give them the full share, reward them, the parents, the marhumeen, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you become happy, you become proud, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah, Ya Allah, help the ummah, oh my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. Wa tub alayna, innaka anta at-tawwabu ar-rahim. Ma sha'a Allah, la quwwata illa billah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu الصالحات. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين.
This is the intention tomorrow. There will be all the